What about patient selection? Could you describe a patient who you might be very likely to encourage to receive therapy and a patient who you would not really encourage?
In ovarian cancer, in almost all the studies that we've looked at, age is a negative prognostic factor, so almost like the opposite of breast cancer. An older patient has a worse prognosis. An older patient is also somebody who may not tolerate drugs like cisplatin as well. An older patient may not tolerate neurotoxicity as well. So I think we try to be very careful and probably, I would say, look more at physiologic age. But an older patient may not be the best candidate. The other situation is what had to be done for this patient to be optimally debulked. If it was a pretty simple, straightforward surgery, that's somebody who is probably not going to have as many adhesions after surgery. Somebody who had to have a 9-hour procedure and was in the ICU for 3 days afterward, you know, with a big volume and fluid shifts, maybe somebody whose peritoneal cavity may not be the best, most receptive for intraperitoneal therapy. I think you have to individualize these.
So if you have a younger patient who, you know, is a more appropriate candidate or optimal candidate for IP therapy, and they sit down with you and say, can you try to put in sort of practical terms, how much of a benefit really could we be looking at? Is this increase my chance of being, quote, cured? And what, practically speaking, am I looking at in terms of side effects, this A versus IV?
Right. And, you know, we certainly can go through the data with those patients. I think one of the issues is right now we don't have long enough follow-up, certainly from the most recent trial, to know, are we curing these patients? And so it's hard to say that in the GOG-172 trial that we reported in 2006 for the optimally debulked patients who had no visible residual disease, and that was about a third of the patients on the study. For those patients who got IP therapy, we actually didn't even reach the median for survival in that group of patients. So we know that if you look at the data, both the patients with visible residual disease and no visible residual, their hazard ratios are about the same, but their numbers are quite different. The patients who have no visible residual disease do extremely well. Again, it gets to that debulking issue, and that maybe that's the group of patients for whom we should be most aggressive with IP therapy. I mean, I sit down and talk with patients about the difference in those months, and with probably any cancer, there are patients who say, there's only so much I'm willing to put up with regard to extra toxicity for a potential improvement in outcome. And then there are those patients who say, I don't care if there's a 0.5% benefit, I want to try to be as aggressive as can. And so you have to sort of read your patients and discuss with them the data. The other thing that I discuss with patients is if we decide to do IP therapy, it's not a path you get on that you can't get off of. And, you know, if you don't tolerate it, we can always go to intravenous therapy. So I think that it doesn't have to be that somebody's sort of committing themselves to 6 cycles of this therapy, no matter what the toxicity is. We're going to try and make this a regimen, the same we do for intravenous, that the patient can tolerate.